Please keep your Bible open to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Church growth, God's way. Now, many books have been written on how to grow a church. How can we have a big church? How can we have a church that is 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 strong? Don't you wish to have such a church? Well, the modern day church growth gurus will tell you their secret. What is the secret to church growth? Well, the secret is to give the people what they want. Give them what they like. Make the church exciting and entertaining. Make it user-friendly and practical. Make the church relevant for the 21st century. The old-fashioned, outdated ways are no longer relevant. You need new ways. And where do you learn these new ways from? Learn it from the multinationals. Look, they are so successful. They are so ubiquitous. They are all over, isn't it? Everywhere you go, you see Coca-Cola. Everywhere you go, you see McDonald's. There must be something we can learn from them. And so we must market the church. Learn from their marketing strategies. You see, the consumer, the customer is king. And employ these methods in the church. And the results will be stupendous growth. You have a church that is four figures strong. Don't we wish to have more members in the church? Of course, this is my desire. And this should be your desire too, that more and more would enter into God's kingdom. More and more would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That the lake of fire will be less populated. Heaven will be more populated. Because that is our desire. But is this God's way? The way that is offered by the world today, and taught in the Bible colleges and seminaries. And they come up with, you know, a whole lot of ideas. They come up with certain models that the church should follow. You have the supermarket model. I've heard pastors preaching, the church must be like a supermarket, like a shopping center, like a country club, you see. Give the people what they want. Is this God's way of growing the church? In light of what we have just read, definitely not. So what is God's way? And please take note, the early church grew for sure. For in chapter 6 verse 1, right? We read in 6 verse 1, that in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. So the church grew in those days, more and more entered into God's kingdom, and the membership of the church increased. The number of the disciples was multiplied. And how did the church grow in terms of number? Well, we have to look at the context and background of chapter 6. What happened that led the church to this good situation of growth and health? Now, if you look back at Acts 1:15, we find that the church grew tremendously. For the church began only as 150, all right, in terms of number. In Acts 1:15, we read here, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120, right, members in the very beginning. Well, when we first started at True Life, more than 7 years ago, we had about 170 in our first service. Well, not too far away from the early church in Jerusalem. We had 120. And then by Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, the membership had increased to 3,000 after Pentecost, right? In Acts 2 verse 41, we read, "And they that gladly receive his word were baptized in the same day, that were added unto them about 3,000 souls," 3,000 after Pentecost. And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, more were added. In chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, and the number kept increasing," right? In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and here we read, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Okay. So we see here that the church grew by leaps and bounds. And how did this happen? It's all through the preaching of God's word. "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And what was the pattern for church growth in those days? Now, if you go back again to Acts chapter 2, we find that the numbers increased due to the preaching of God's word. And how, firstly, the apostles expounded from the scriptures in Acts chapter 2, in verse 16. When the people were wondering what was going on at Pentecost, well, Peter stood up and answered the people and expounded from the Holy Scriptures, from the prophecy of Joel, and explained to the people what they were witnessing at that time at Pentecost. Scriptures being fulfilled. So there was exposition of Scripture, right? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 16 and following. Then there was the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, not only the exposition of the scriptures, but the preaching of the gospel in verse 29 onwards, where Peter preached of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that we find also was the application of God's word. And how the application of God's word, the rebuking of sin, and calling on the people to do that which is necessary and needful for their life, for their salvation, was preached with all boldness, applied without fear and favor of men. For you look at verse 23. After the preaching from the scriptures, the exposition of scriptures, the preaching of the gospel, look at verse 23 of Acts chapter 2. What did Peter say? It says, "Him, that is Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Yes, you were the ones who put Jesus on the cross, and you were wicked. You did it in all wickedness. He means no words, right, to rebuke the people in this way and calling on them to repent. And then also look at verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom ye crucified." You were the ones who crucified the Lord Jesus with wicked hands, both Lord and Christ. And of course, what happened when there was such preaching of the word? Not to please men, but to glorify God. The Holy Spirit begins to work. And then we read in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And yes, for the church to grow, the biblical pattern lies with God's Word, the power of God's Word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. These two things. And our responsibility, our duty, is to go by the biblical pattern of preaching, teaching, and applying God's Word. By expounding God's Word, number one. By preaching the gospel. And I try my level best to preach the gospel each time at this pulpit, because we can never know who in our midst still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or there may be new ones who come seeking for salvation, and then they would hear the gospel and be saved from this pulpit. And then not only that, to apply the scriptures. If sin has to be rebuked, it has to be rebuked. If there are dangers out there that requires us to warn, we must warn. And if people do not know what is the good and right way to walk in, well, we have to tell them, this is the way, not the other ways, but this way. And we must do all this with the fullness of the Spirit, being faithful to the Scriptures, and when that is done, there will be increase in the church. The Lord will add to the church those whom He had chosen to be saved. That is the secret. That is the biblical way. And you can also see how the apostles preached the gospel with simplicity and purity, which led to the conversion of many. We find that they do not offer money, silver and gold. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you." What I have is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must preach Christ and Christ and Christ and nothing else but Christ. It must be a Christ-centered pulpit ministry. No other way. And I pray we will not get tired of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will always be excited, not by the things of the world, not the fleshly activities of the world, but be excited over our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What He has done for us. I want to know Him more and more, not only from His Word, but also from experience. I want to experience Him in my life. And the Lord wants us also to experience Him in a very real way. And this is done, of course, through the reading of the Scriptures, praying to the Lord, and then the Lord will draw nigh. You need wisdom, you read the Scriptures, the Lord gives you the answer. You need comfort, you read the Scriptures, and you pray, "Lord, I'm very sad. I'm troubled. I have these doubts." And the Lord comes to comfort you, to encourage you, and to give you the knowledge and the wisdom you need to strengthen you so that you will not backslide and fall away. Right? Do we experience God in such a way? It's not organizing more sewing classes or baking classes, cooking classes, right? Organizing aerobics for members in the church, or taekwondo, attract all the young people, set up more computers, put computer games inside, get them to church, and all these activities that are going to change our lives. Yes, we may have a large membership, many people will come, if we offer all these activities, They are very attractive. People like to do all these things. Why can't a church be like a community center, club, a social gathering? Then the businessmen also can come together and network. We will have, I believe, every seat here will be filled if we go that way. It has been proven to be successful by churches who employ all these methods to increase their church membership. But do we want a church with such members? We remember how the Lord fed the 5,000 and they want to make him king. He had 5,000 members after that one miracle, feeding them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then Jesus told them, "What I want you to eat is my flesh and my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood." Because that means you must have Jesus inside of you. Believe on what he will do with his body, which will be sacrificed on the cross, right, for you. And the blood, drink his blood. His blood will be shed for the remission of sin. Believe in what I'm going to do for you. Spiritual eating and drinking. And after that, they all left him. And did Jesus go and say, "Oh, don't go. My church will shrink overnight." Now only left, all the 5,000 left, only left 12. Did Jesus go after them? No, Jesus didn't go after them. And then he asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" And then Peter gave a good answer. "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we know and believe. We are very sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Ah, these are the disciples the Lord is looking for. Are you such a disciple? Why do you come to church? Of course, among the 12, there was one who was a traitor. Just like the 5,000, even worse, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed the Lord. Church growth must be done God's way. The heavenly way, the biblical way, not the worldly and the fleshly way. And True Life BP Church, as far as the pulpit ministry is concerned, it must be God-honoring, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, and word-based. And we will not say things that will tickle your ears. God forbid. But pray. Pray that every sermon that is preached here will be due to the burden that God has placed upon the minister, that he will discharge that burden according to God's will and God's way. We are in these days, we need a prophetic ministry. And the prophetic ministry means you preach God's word and then you also prophesy. Of course, not prophesy through new dreams and visions. The Lord is no longer giving such dreams and visions. But all the dreams, the visions, the prophecies that are found in the 66 books of the Bible. A whole lot of prophecies. And we must do that. And a lot of these prophecies involve the end of the world, the Lord's return, judgment to come. And many of these things will not be pleasant to hear. In fact, it can be very offensive. Because we talk about judgment to come. We talk about hell. We talk about the lake of fire. We say that Jesus is the only way. And these may be regarded as offensive. But no matter, this is what we must do because of the pattern that the apostles have set. expound the Holy Scriptures, the promises and the prophecies, right? Preach the gospel. And the gospel must not do without the resurrection of Christ. Whenever you preach the gospel, make sure you preach the resurrection, not just the death, but also the resurrection. Many evangelistic preaching today neglect and forget the resurrection of Christ. You only preach the cross. No, you don't preach just the cross. You must always, always, all the time, not forget to mention the empty tomb. That's very important. And then thirdly, to apply, to rebuke, to warn, to instruct, to direct, and to plead with people to repent of their ways and make peace with the Lord. So, many a time we may not feel good when we hear a sermon. Sometimes also I'm convicted, and of course the temptation is not me, or how can, you know, this preacher preach like this? But there's a very sinful way of thinking. And if the Lord convicts us of our sin, we must quickly humble ourselves and soften our heart. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to change. Help me to repent. All right? And walk in thy way. So sermons will not be preached to tickle your ears. The whole lot of preaching today is very philosophical and psychological, with all the positive thinking, possibility thinking, self-esteem thinking of so many of these popular preachers today. And it's sad that some BP churches are going that way. I know of one elder and a Sunday school superintendent who said, I can accept the teachings of Joel Austin. You know of Joel Austin? You don't know of Joel Austin, don't have to know, right? Better not to know. Well, he's a very popular, right, preacher in the United States, but he preaches a popular gospel, self-esteem, feel good, positive, right, thinking kind of a word that makes people feel good about themselves. Have their ego stroked. The I is very good. And very little about Christ. And this today in Singapore is the kind of preaching and teaching you hear from all these mega churches. Kong Hee and Joseph Prince. One BP pastor is already now a follower of Joseph Prince, sad to say. We're living in such times, dear friend. These are the last days when the love of many will wax cold. Do they love Jesus more and more? Do they love themselves more and more? We'll find people loving themselves more and more. And of course, it is important. And we must give ourselves to feeding the flock of God spiritually. But that is not enough. What is also important is to meet the physical needs of the members. Right? And in Acts chapter 6, we find this done. So in Acts chapter 6, we find that in those days where the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So what went on at that time? Well, the Grecians here were the Greek-speaking Jews, right? And they murmured against the Hebrew-speaking Jews, and many of them, right, resided in Jerusalem. The Greek-speaking Jews were those from other parts of the Roman Empire. And it's possible there was miscommunication or lack of communication, so much so that the needs of the widows of the Greek-speaking Jews were neglected. And so what should the church do? Well, the apostles here were very wise to say we cannot neglect the important thing of preaching and teaching God's word, feeding God's people with the spiritual milk and meat of God's word, and to pray for their spiritual needs and for their spiritual health. These things are very important for the life of the church. And these are the things we must concentrate on doing. But there is this physical need that we have to take care of the poor and the destitute. And so, also, true religion will also take care of the poor and the destitute. James 1 verse 27 tells us, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So there were widows, there were orphans, there were these poor members in the church who may have no food, no shelter, who have such financial needs. The church must step in to help them. And the apostles recognize this, but they cannot just take their attention away from the spiritual duty to focus on this physical aspect, all right, of the church. So they said in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What is this business? This business is the business of serving tables. All right. In verse 2 we read, that we should, it says, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What I mean by serve tables here? Now the word serve here is the Greek word for deacon, right? Diakoneo. That's where we get the word for deacons. And so here we have the first deacons of the church. And their duty was to serve tables. Now the tables here, the word tables here, refer to the dispensing of funds, of food and funds. Because in those days, those who handled money or who gave or lent out money, the bankers, sit with tables before them, and then they dispense funds using tables. So what tables here refer to the dispensing of funds. That's like, you know, in the days when Jesus went to the temple and found the money lenders. And what did he do to these money lenders in the temple? Defiling the ground. So Jesus overturned their tables, right? The tables. So the tables here are money tables or food tables to dispense with funds and food for those who are needy. And the deacons were to be appointed to take care of this need so that the apostles can concentrate on ministering to the flock the word of God. And so, of course, these men must be honest men. As I've said and I preached last week, they must be men of who are honest and not greedy or filthy lucre, because they are going to handle money. And then also they must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, because they will have to size up the situation, and there are many kinds of situations and conditions and circumstances, and how to dispense, to be good stewards of God's money, and to dispense God's money properly. So they have to size up the situation, make good decisions. They need wisdom from above. They need the Holy Spirit to grant them discernment to do this work. It's very important. And so how do we go about doing all these things? One question was asked. How does the session go about looking into such matters? Surely there is this spiritual element. It's not just a matter of having a set of rules, right? Yes, we can have rules. Indeed, we have rules of management. But then, the bottom line, we also need very much the wisdom of the Lord, the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that's why, although we have a budget, but I remember Reverend Toh says, my principle is no budget, budget. Why no budget, budget? Because we never can tell how the Lord will lead us, right, to a certain area, like into the missions. There's a need in missions. Suddenly it crops up. And we cannot say, oh, just because we didn't budget for this year, we cannot use it. We must keep to this budget. If the Lord moves and leads, we must take the step of faith. Budget or no budget. And the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will make sure of it. It is His will. And of course, we must be very sensitive to God's leading and God's guidance. Right? So you need to pray for your session, for your pastor, your elder, the deacons, to know what is God's priority. How is God leading us? Grant us discernment and wisdom from on high. And we will do all things according to His will and His way. So take note. And this was done, and 7 were appointed, and the apostles say, and the apostle said here, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so the church appointed 7. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So there are 6. And they had a huge church, right? No less than 5,000. But the 6 deacons. We have about 400 who attend the church. And I think 6 deacons, enough or not? I think quite sufficient, isn't it? We could have more, but according to our constitution, we can only have 1 deacon for every 40 members. Right? 40 communicant members. I trust all have been elected into session. What are the results? Are the results ready? All elected. How about the pastor? So the deacons will, and we thank God, all 6 deacons are honorable men, men of faith. Spiritual men, and I trust them fully. And we thank God for Elder Joseph, and he will be the ruling elder. He is also able to teach, and he has an excellent Sunday school ministry every Lord's Day. And I would encourage you, come and learn from him. And he's studying the book of Job right now. And so you'll see me preaching more often, more frequently and regularly in the church. So pray for this ministry of the word, and also of meeting the needs, the physical needs of the members of the church. And when we concentrate on this ministry, on this twofold ministry of meeting the spiritual needs of the church as well as the physical needs, according to God's word, the Lord will give the increase. The Lord will give the increase. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when there is faith, when there's faith, then the church will be strong. When there's no faith, then the church will be very vulnerable to wolves in sheep's clothing that may enter in the flock and snatch the weak ones away. And of course, we have to also love, not only love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love one another as ourselves. So there are physical needs, surely. Just like, you know, we had helped the orphans of Myanmar, New Life Orphan Center. And last year, one of the girls had to be hospitalized for appendicitis. And then later on, she developed a heart disease and she had to be treated. So all the hospital and medical expenses were taken care of by True Life. And this girl, Nyang Hoi, her name, is now fully recovered. Our last missions trip, we saw her, she gave a good testimony. She's very thankful and grateful to the Lord. And she's now happy and strong. Just completed her high school studies, taken her high school exams, equivalent to our O levels. And God willing, if she does well in the matriculation exam, she will further studies in the university. So we are meeting the needs of the poor as best as we can, not just overseas but also locally. And this is important. And of course, we find in Galatians, Paul telling us how we must take care of the needs of those who are members of the church, of the household of faith. In Galatians 6 verse 10 it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And this we must be mindful to do. But of course we need a lot of wisdom, discernment to do this. Definitely, we will not want to give money to people who say they need money, but it is to feed their sinful habits, gambling, or drug addiction. There are those who come, it's also to try to swindle the church of money, to take advantage of the kindness and the charity of the church, and they can spin a very convincing story about their life, but really hiding the truth. So we must be very discerning as well. So we need the Holy Scriptures, we need the Holy Spirit to grant us that kind of a wisdom. That all things will be done according to God's way and to the glory of God. And I pray that you would spend time studying the Bible intensively and systematically. Take advantage of the night classes of FEBC, Sunday school, and then there's the church camp that's coming. We'll be studying the book of Philippians. Wonderful book to study. Won't you come? Please, take time out, spend time with the Lord, with your family. And it's going to be, you know, going to Bible camps is like experiencing heaven on earth, really. Why do you want to miss out? Well, I'm the speaker, and that's a saying, local ginger is not hot enough. But even if a few come, we will still press on with the camp, and I'll do my best to teach you God's word by the grace and the strengthening and the help of the Holy Spirit. So I'm sure the Lord will bless us when we put Him first in our lives and do things according to His way, growing the church God's way. There are still many empty seats, only about 2/3 still, this auditorium. Can we see more people coming? I think we can. May the Lord help us to do this work. Reach out to others with the gospel of Christ, and those who are believers, who are looking for churches that preach and teach the truth, who are hungry for God's word, you can also reach out to them and bring them in. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, which gives us the blueprint of how we can do church work God's way? And Father, lead us and guide us, and we know that we cannot do anything without Thee. Grant me Thy grace to be pastor of True Life. Bless Elder Joseph and all the deacons who have been elected in. We know, Lord, that we cannot do all these things without Thee, for this is a spiritual work, and this is a spiritual body of Christ. How we need Thy Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, and good and godly principles, spiritual principles, to do Thy work. Help us not to depart from this way. So help us, and may each and every member, O Lord, count for Thee. Let me know for sure that they are truly born again, part of Thy family, and can only expect a blessed hope and a good reward from Thee when Jesus returns. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.